Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading from Holy Scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christian strength is found not when we're standing proudly on our feet, full of ourselves, shaking our fists in anger at the world around us, but it's found rather when we're on our knees, with our hands folded, filled not with ourselves, but with that Christ who dwells in us through faith. It is a joy to be here at the occasion of the installation of the Reverend Dr. Richard Serena as the Associate Executive Director of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations of the Missouri Synod, a title which pretty much takes up all my sermon time, but well worth it. Has a beautiful ring to it, does it not? Rick, you may not know, and I have been good friends for a good 15 years or so, and I can tell you right off the bat, at the very beginning of our friendship, I recognized in Dr. Serena a man who was very bright, a man who was a diligent worker, very sincere in his work, a man who loved Lutheran theology, just loved the gospel, and what stood out probably most to me was his love for the church. That was something that was very evident early on. And so, many years ago already, I began to think to myself, that man seems like a good fit to serve, at least in some capacity, with the CTCR. And I actually prayed a bit about that many years ago already, and obviously many of you thought the same thing and prayed similarly, or we would not be at a day like this today, would we? So, point being, your installation today, Dr. Serena, is an answer to prayer. My prayer, the prayers of the church, your colleagues, the synod, the commission. And so we receive your installation as a divine gift, which means we receive it in joy and in thanksgiving. Now, knowing Rick very well as I do, I have many stories I could tell. But in the interest of time and of, to be quite frank, me not losing my composure, because this is a significant event for a friend as well, I will turn the page now on the personal comments. I see you wiping the beads of sweat from your forehead already, and I'll move on to the text I've been given to preach today. I've been asked to preach at this occasion on the epistle lesson from this past Sunday from Ephesians chapter 3 that was just read. And there Paul starts out this section by writing to the Ephesian Christians, the Ephesian church, and he says, I ask you to not lose heart because of my suffering for you, which is your glory. Now, Paul had been thrown into prison, was suffering there, persecuted precisely because he was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and acting on that preaching. That's what got him thrown in prison, and he was suffering there. But it's good to note that Paul's concern here is not about persecution. It's not about his suffering. In fact, elsewhere in the epistle, he speaks about not even being a prisoner of the authority. He's a prisoner of the Lord, he says, right? So he's not concerned about that. His concern is with the church's reaction to that, you might say. His concern is that the church not lose heart in the face of it. That's his concern. So, I think about the work we do as Synod and the CTCR in particular, and there's no doubt about the fact that when you dialogue and do work around the world, you will hear sadly many similar stories to what the Apostle Paul suffered. You'll encounter many people who have stories about persecution, imprisonment, and those kinds of things for preaching the gospel. A lot of suffering around the world, still to this day, always has been. But stateside, the closer geographical context in which we live and serve, not quite the same. And there's suffering, but it takes a different form. An aged pastor once said to me, he said, sometimes the worst form suffering can take is no suffering at all. That could be taken many ways, but I think one of the ways that impacted me was it's a body blow when the culture around you treats you as a nothing, as if your life and your work, which is the gospel, is so insignificant it doesn't even warrant a violent response or any kind of response. It's as if you're invisible, right? And I think that's just our plight, presently. Who knows what will be in the future, but presently. That God became man, that He took into His flesh your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, that He paid for it on the cross for us to reconcile us to God, that He was raised for our justification, that He solemnly promises to come one day soon again, visibly and in glory, to bring all of His work to fruition, gathering us together, wiping every tear from our eyes, having raised us from the dead, and glorifying with His own glory, His church, with His own glory, the very fulfillment of our humanity, really. You can't make up anything more beautiful and profoundly encouraging than that. And there are places in the world where you will get thrown in prison, but still to this day, right? But here, stateside, it's more likely to be met with a yawn. Not that people don't get upset about a lot of things. Oh boy, right? All kinds of things people are getting all upset about all the time. But that God became man ain't one of them. And faith knows, and this is the problem, only faith recognizes that it's precisely in God becoming man that a resolution to all of those problems is initiated in the first place, right? So when that is our life and our work as church workers, as a member of the CTCR, to have that response is profoundly discouraging. The devil doesn't mind us working hard. I'm sure he loves it. What his interest is in what Paul is addressing. He wants us to work. Go ahead and work, church workers, but do your work without hope. And if you ask me, anecdotally speaking, listening to informal conversations for decades now with church workers, that struggle is at epidemic levels. Pastor, you can hear it in the conversations. little bit of despair creeping out, right? Informal conversation. So that's our concern for you too, right? That's Paul's concern. That was his concern for the Ephesian church and for the church. So what does Paul do in response to this threat, this potential loss of heart? What does he do? He falls to his knees. The apostle Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle who wrote a fair share of our New Testament, that great man falls to his knees and he prays. And we follow suit for you, Dr. Serena. And we pray what the blessed apostle prays. We pray first and foremost for your faith, that you not lose heart as you are strengthened by that Christ who dwells in you by faith, Paul says, rooted and grounded in God's saving love for you in Christ, rooted and grounded in his death and resurrection for you. Rooted and grounded, faith words. Because you're not just a worker in our little corner of God's field here in the Missouri Synod. You are, first and foremost, through Christ, a member of the family of God who has a seat at the dinner table of the Holy Trinity, right? A man who, through your baptism into Christ, is not just a slave laboring away, but is first and foremost a son, alive with Christ's own sonship. That's true with all of the baptized. A beloved son, a man who is, through your baptism, loved by the Father with the same love that the Father has for his only begotten. Think of that. It's astonishing. It's hard to even get your mind around something as good as that, is it not? Sit on that for the next 50 years. There's no end to your encouragement and the strength you get from that, right? Objectively, obviously, and subjectively as well. So we pray for that. We pray for your faith. You lay hold of that in increasing fashion and are thereby strengthened. And after all, really, faith is the proper context for your work anyway. Paul essentially says that in our text, that being strengthened through faith, you're able to then more fully comprehend the gospel, the height and depth and breadth and length of God's love for you in Christ. As Hillary said, I hope it's appropriate, only in receiving can we know. Only in receiving can we know. And so faith and the humility of faith is the disposition, the life, the foundation of the theologian and the churchman. Now, that's not to say we're not concerned about directly about your work as well. And I know you well. He will work harder than he should. I can assure you of that. But the call here is for you to do your work on your knees, Rick. On your knees. As Augustine said, praying as if everything depends on God, which it does. Working as if it all depends on you. Or as Luther says, and I love it, doing your work and let God do all the worry. Right? Because after all, it's his gospel, it's his church, it's his ministry. It is, in fact, his world, not ours. And so the fruitfulness of our work rests in his nail-scarred hands and not ours, which is a beautiful and liberating truth to labor under. Yet, if we're honest, it's a truth each of us has to learn anew every single morning. True, right? And occasionally, in the middle of a restless night. So, Dr. Serena, today is an answer to our prayer. But because our prayers have been answered doesn't mean they're going to cease. Now they are just changing. We pray for your faith that you be strengthened through that Christ who dwells in you through faith and be fit for your work in that way. And we're confident as we pray, we are confident that God hears our prayers and that your work will indeed result not in despair but doxology, we're bold and confident in praying that because we pray not based on our own strength or standing or yours, not in our own name, but we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for chaplains Jeremy Gorline and Chad Shishke, who are deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.